brought a little something along. I always like to have something to work from with the sermon. And I'm sure from the back you can see what this is. It's a nativity scene. And because it could be a little hard to see, it lights up, which should make it easier for you. I'm sure you can all see that quite plainly. I kind of figured whatever nativity scene you had would be down by now. So, I often stop by the Goodwill store in Martinsburg and over the holidays and continually amazed at the amount of Christmas decorations of every sort and size, religious and secular, that people have placed into that type of recycling. Some items show their wear, apparently having been used by someone for many Christmas seasons, but now either no longer needed or replaced by something newer and perhaps trendier. Other items look like they were right off a store shelf and brought directly over to Goodwill to be donated. If you were in need of something to decorate with and you couldn't find it at Goodwill, I think perhaps you're just a little too picky. Goodwill handles recycled things, but the malls and the stores were also full of brand new items associated with the Christmas season. It got me thinking, however, if I were to choose what would be the most important item I would pick to display at Christmas time, what item would most tell the Christmas story? Certainly a lot of people would pick Santa Claus. As for many, he is the embodiment of giving. It'd be hard to count the number of representations of Santa at Goodwill alone. Others might choose an angel, as there were certainly many of them to be found there as well. There were also numerous Christmas trees, reindeer, and sleds, and many, many other items. For some, it might even be the greenery that we place in our sanctuaries at this time of year. The answer I came up with for me that I think most represents this holiday season of Christmas is the Nativity scene, which was the name of this sermon, and also the graphic that I brought along with me. I think Christmas is over way too quick, so I stretch it out a little. You may have trouble seeing this from the back, but it's a typical nativity scene. You're all familiar with such scenes, I am sure. Many of us have them in our homes during the Christmas season. A few of us may even have an outside nativity set, or in the case of my case, we had at least the baby in the manger along with Mary and Joseph set up in our yard for those driving by our street to see and hopefully to have been reminded of the Christmas season. The nativity scene. Take a second and picture it in your mind. It's such a peaceful scene, but one that actually brings out the worst in some people. What is it about this simple scene that we see displayed in stores, in front yards, and in all type of print during this time of year that brings out such strong emotions in people that so upsets some people? Seems like every year at the Christmas time, you hear someone protesting the public displays of this scene. And where it is displayed in a public setting, such as down at the Williamsport Park, they must be careful to put plenty of secular scenes, such as Santa Claus, around it, so as not to end up in some sort of litigation. So if you drove through Bryant Park, how many of you did this year? Who would see the lights? Okay, if you didn't, you missed something. You saw many animated figures when you drove through there, including trains and bikes and different Santas, all made of lights and all really neat and festive. And if you look for it, there was a nativity scene hidden among them. Even though this is what the Christmas season is all about, no special emphasis could be placed on this scene for fear of offending somebody. And think of it, there was a time when Christians were willing to be fed to the lions rather than hiding their pay. You don't hear of court cases to keep the menorah or the crescent away from publicly funded buildings such as schools, courthouses, and public parks. Perhaps that's because Jewish holidays are more family-oriented and relying upon their Old Testament assurance that they're already the chosen people. Jews don't feel a need to share their experience with the world. and thus they make no attempt to publicly display the symbol of their faith. Islam, on the other hand, is very active in recruiting new members, and is reported to be the world's fastest growing religion. But until recently, no one seemed particularly concerned about displays of their religion. Perhaps this is because their holidays did not coincide with our holidays, and quite frankly, no one outside of their religion really noticed them. But back to that nativity scene. Of all the world symbols at this time of year, it is this one scene that seems to bring about the backlash. People do seem to get upset at stars cross. People don't seem to get upset at stars, crosses, or even angels. It's this peaceful scene of shepherds and farm animals gathered around a mother, father, and newborn baby in a lowly stable that upsets them. I expect that many people feel threatened by the nativity scene because they know that the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And that thought scares them. That simple little nativity scene represents the greatest gift that God has ever given mankind. Thus, to acknowledge the nativity scene is to acknowledge not only that there is a supreme God, a major step in itself for some people, but also that God sent his Son, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to us. To acknowledge the nativity scene is to acknowledge that God sent his Son to rescue us from lives of sin, to reveal his great love towards us, his great love for us. And I think that perhaps it is this love that threatens people, as they don't know what to do with it. There are several powerful emotions that we deal with, and we often have a hard time dealing with. Emotions such as hate, anger, jealousy. Giving in to them divides us, it drives wedges between us and other people, and more importantly, it drives a wedge between us and our God. And thus, these emotions are among the favorite tools of Satan. Love is also a powerful emotion, but it's different than those others. Love captures your heart, and it can cause you to surrender completely to the desires of another person. Only love can overcome all those other emotions that divide us. Love binds us together. Love is the emotion of faith. Is the emotion cited by Jesus in summing up all the previous laws of the Torah and what we know as the greatest and the second greatest commandments. I believe that may be why that little baby in the manger is so upsetting to so many people. That child is the ultimate manifestation of God's love for us. No prophet of Judaism ever claimed to be God. Mohammed never claimed to be God. But that little baby grew up to declare himself to be one with God, one with God the Father. Scriptures tell us that even those who resisted him had to admit he spoke with authority. His disciples would declare him to be the actual Son of God, the Christ, the Lamb of God, and the perfect sacrifice for our sins, among other things. But central to all of this, he was God's expression of love toward the world. To know him is to know God. Jesus told us that. Keep it in your church, the world says. Don't push it on us. You can believe in whatever you like, just don't put it in our face. But this simple scene of a few animals and a few people gathered around a manger does just that. We don't need to get in their face with our religion. They see the manger, and they know the message. They cannot escape its power, its condemnation of all those who reject this child. The nativity scene is such a simple scene, a tranquil scene, yet obviously such a powerful scene to evoke such a response. Picture it in your mind. common shepherds, rich kings, all surrounding a man and a woman used by God, all worshiping a little baby that the world, whether they want to accept it or not, knows was the incarnation of Almighty God. Look at this scene in wonder and worship. It can capture your heart if you'll let it. He came because he loves you. He came to fulfill all righteousness. He came so that you and I could spend eternity with him. But he came as a baby, needing love long before he could share it with others. He came not as a mighty warrior, as many were expecting. He came not with an army to liberate the Jews and once give them the glory that was David's. He came as a helpless baby who needed the love of his parents to survive. But he did come. Okay, he did come originally only for the Jews, the original chosen people. And there's several verses in the scriptures that make this clear. But the important thing is that by the end of his ministry, he had opened the doors for all of us, for you and for me. Matthew quotes his final instructions to his followers in chapter 28 to be, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And from this point on, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we all became his chosen people, subject to the expectations that he has for his chosen people. That nativity scene became our nativity scene. And the love he modeled became the love we are to model. As we read in Colossians chapter 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." We're all God's chosen people, not because of anything special that's been done, but because God chose us. All our actions, our behaviors, our lives, everything should be a reaction to that divine decision. We cannot earn a place in heaven. We can only accept or reject the one that's already held in our names. But there's more to being chosen than accepting this gift. More even than trying to live one's life by the virtues that we just read in Colossians. More even than making love the central emotion that describes our life. There is example shown to us by the lives of the apostles. There is the need to be amazed by this love shown to us. So much so that you cannot help but take this love out into the world to share it with others. They say you shouldn't tell a story in a sermon unless it serves a point. And I like to tell stories, and I think this one does. It seems a man came home from work really tired one day, and he was very irritated from work, and only to have his young daughter demanding his attention as he sat down to try and read his paper. Trying to find a nice way to handle this situation, he picked up a nearby magazine and flipped through the pages, and he quickly found a map of the world. He tore that page out, he ripped it up in little pieces, and told his daughter to take those into the next room and put this puzzle back together. He was amazed when she returned very shortly to announce that she was done. "How," he asked her, "did you do it that quickly?" "It was easy," she said. "On the other side of the page was a picture of Jesus. Once I got that right, the world just fell into place." Perhaps the moral of that story is that once people start to get right with Jesus, then our world would come together the way it should. Maybe the Democrats and Republicans could quit fighting and do something good for this country. 2018 is over, but a new year is just really beginning. And whether you're the type that made New Year's resolutions or not, you can still resolve that 2019 will be the year that you take God's love out into the world, that you share the good news with someone, and hopefully you bring them into this church to worship. Let us pray. O loving Creator of the whole world, O God of the whole year, we gather this day to continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Help us to continue to celebrate his birth every day throughout this new year by witnessing to your love in our family, our community, and our world. Guide us that we might prove worthy of your love and the sacrifice you made in sending your Son to live among us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. 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 Amen.